Welcome back to Art House Garage. You are listening to episode 7. In this episode, we have the second half of my interview with filmmaker Brian Donovan. So if you have not listened to episode 6, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that first half before continuing on with this episode. Brian Donovan, a little context, is a filmmaker who made an amazing documentary about his sister Kelly, who has Down syndrome. The film is Kelly's Hollywood, and I watched it not too long ago with my wife. It took me on quite an emotional journey, and I discussed that in this episode. As I mentioned in the previous episode, I have two children who have Down syndrome, and so advocacy around Down syndrome is something that's very personal to me. We get very personal, actually, in this interview, too. I talk about some of the ways I was feeling as I watched it and some of the, you know, dark places that it took my brain. Thinking about the way, you know, the film does end with Kelly passing away. And so I will issue a little just emotional warning, especially if you have kids with special needs. It may be, you know, just make sure you are in a good emotional place. I don't think it's anything too crazy, but we get pretty serious as we discuss this. So with that warning out of the way, please enjoy the second half of my interview with Brian Donovan. That kind of brings me into the advocacy kind of questions I wanted to ask too. Is that I love that it's a portrait of an adult with Down syndrome. That's not something that you really see anywhere. Even so, when I, you know, had my daughter who has Down syndrome, we started learning and learning and learning. It seemed like all the stories we were hearing were parents with young kids or stories about young kids and going through things. And it was a whole nother thing to, like, what are my kids going to be like when they're grown up? And so it was really special for me to experience that. And I kind of looking forward to my own kids getting to that age. So I'm curious, how much of that did you have in mind? Was this just, I want to tell them the story of my sister? Or did you know there would be an advocacy part to this from the beginning?
That is a great question. You know, I just told this story the other day. Towards the end, and, you know, getting the producerial stuff of the film, meaning, you know, clearing rights and licenses and stuff like that. It's a very arduous part of filmmaking. I had locked picture about a year prior to actually releasing the film because of all that stuff I had to clear. And it also costs money, namely the music, Needle Drop. You know, the Bee Gees are in there, How Deep Is Your Love, one of their iconic songs. Hooray for Hollywood's in there, that iconic song. Cool Rider from Grease too. You know, these all cost money. So I ended up getting, very fortunately getting, because I financed the film myself, except for these a few contributions. And one of them was from a guy was a friend of a friend, and he gave me $10,000, essentially with no strings attached, and said, I love what you're trying to do, and, you know, here's $10,000. And so, but when I showed him the rough cut, I think he was really taken aback that it was such a personal story and film, and it was just really intimate. And paints this portrait of my relationship with my sister. And I think he was looking at it. I think he thought that I was going to do something more universal and introduce, you know, more of a universal theme to it about Down syndrome, and maybe have other people or families talking, you know, to it, about it. And, you know, I don't know if he was necessarily disappointed, but he definitely was taken aback. And so I guess I say that because, to answer your question, the film was always going to be a very, very personal portrait for me, because I felt very strongly about the fact that if I just showed my sister and I didn't lecture in any way or didn't, you know, do any sort of, you know, obvious advocacy, so to speak, that the story and my sister's spirit would speak for itself. And you know, I wasn't sure if that indeed would be the case or if it would work, but it was really important for me to go that route. And so that's what I ended up doing. And again, I wasn't sure if it was going to work, but I feel like it has, because, you know, one of the things that really kept me going is there, and this is for your audience that's not familiar with Down syndrome or what's happening in our world of Down syndrome, but you know, there's a termination rate in pregnancy that's extremely high. I mean, it's in the high 80s in the States. It's 90 plus in some countries. It's 100% in Iceland. They didn't have anyone born with Down syndrome last year. And so, you know, I'm pro-choice, you know, for your viewers, whether you agree with that or not. And I feel very strongly about that. But on the flip side, it terrifies me and breaks my heart that there's a possibility of eradicating Down syndrome from our humanity. And so, not to get, you know, too crazy into that, but I bring it up because it was one of the things that drove me to finish the film. It does terrify me. And I thought, okay, if I can show my sister in the truest sense that of all who she was, her spirit, her complexities, dispelling any myths that all Down syndrome kids are always happy and all they want to do is hug and love. Yes, there's an element of that. However, yeah. They also have everything else going on just like you and me. And and I felt like if I just showed that, but I also showed the magnificence of love and the ripple that she created, the positive ripple she created in her life, then I've done my job. Because then if someone sees my film and they see it that way, which I think, you know, at least in my observation and review and otherwise and feedback, is that worked, you know what I mean? That's all I ever wanted to do. And that's not to say that I'm going to change anyone's opinion that's in that situation. And that's not to say that, you know, I'm advocating for pro-choice or pro-life or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's just that I'm illustrating a life well-lived. And my sister's life was so well-lived, and it was a fully realized life. And I just wanted to show that ripple that she created in life and that vibration she had and that spirit. And I just wanted that to speak for itself. And I think it has, you know, and so that's my advocacy, you know, and that's all it's ever been. You know, and I go back that time and time again, and now that I speak around the country about the film and otherwise, that's what I speak to. I speak to, you know, that ripple, that vibration that one has, that we all have, you know, even in our stillest states, you know, we all have a vibration, and depending on, you know, who you are in this world and your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations, that vibration, you know, without getting too wacky, you know, that vibration, you know, is directed in a particular direction. And it also has an intensity depending. And my sister personified that better than anyone. I mean, she vibrated at such a decibel, if you will, that her vibration continues to spread. Now through this film, it continues to spread, and she's, I'm happy to report, has changed countless lives, and changed the perspective of countless people. And most importantly, has illustrated to children with unique needs and without that anything is possible, and that their dreams matter and they should be pursued and nurtured and supported, and that you can change the world. You know, you yourself can change the world, you know, no matter who you are. And that's what I've always tried to do, you know. So that's, you know, I guess that's my advocacy.
No, I love that. I think that really all of that really does come through in the movie. And I was gonna, you know, basically piggyback on that same idea, is that I've noticed the same thing to be true of my kids, is I don't have to sit here and show you facts and figures. You've never met a person with Down syndrome? Here's my son, and he's full of life, and he's going to brighten your afternoon because you got to spend 30 seconds with him. And I think that in itself is such a powerful advocacy to just open people's eyes up to what these people are like. They're just like you and me. And can bring so much joy. So yeah, I love that. I agree that I think your movie does that really effectively. And I think so, not only is that it shows this portrait of an adult with Down syndrome, which is not a common story that American viewers get to see or any viewers get to see, but that it's also not, so maybe what your financer was picturing, you know, here's a clinical, you know, study of a person. It's a portrait of love, you know, it's from the very beginning. It's like, here's this person that the filmmaker obviously loves, and the way film can communicate that worldview so strongly, we immediately fall in love with her too. And so not only are people meeting someone and getting a close look at someone who has Down syndrome, who's an adult, which is an uncommon story, they're also experiencing that with like, oh, I love this person immediately. And so like we fall in love with Kelly as we watch her in this movie. And yeah, I just think that's really remarkable. And I know some of that was probably intentional, but maybe some of it just happened too, probably. And yeah, I just think it's really special. And I want everyone to go watch this movie.
Well, you know, I think, I think too that people have responded to the universal themes, you know, the things that transcend, you know, anything that's tied to Down syndrome or disability. I think, you know, my sister, despite, you know, having Down syndrome and a disability, that she, like all of us, have to deal with certain things in our lives, you know, and so the film speaks to boundaries. The film speaks to what is normal, you know. The film speaks to codependency, and the film speaks to the aspirations of one's dreams, whoever you are. And so I think those are all very relatable. I think, you know, you can, you know, which is why people go on the ride for films and television and any storytelling, right? They go, oh, that's relatable. I can, you know, hold on to that. And that happened to me, or yeah. And even though the situations might be different, you know, we're all dealing with, you know, compromise in relationships. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we have to deal with a lot in the film, I guess the B story, if you will, in the film is my, how it affected my other relationships with women and girlfriends and now wife. And, but I think anybody can relate to that, because, you know, if you're in any relationship, you know, whether it's, you know, in my case, me dealing with the love triangle, you know, and the situation with my sister and trying to bring my sister to those relationships and balancing, you know, my love for my sister and my, you know, love for these girlfriends or now wife. And, but anybody can relate to that. You know, we all have situations in relationships where we have to kind of figure out what is that balance between work and love, family and your own aspirations, you know, all these things. And in a lot of ways, I can speak to that, you know, in itself forever. But, you know, I think, again, those are the things that, you know, that are very relatable. And they go, oh, you know, they see themselves in it in some way. But they also witness a magnificent love, right? And I think at the end of the day, you know, this isn't a Disney movie by any means, but I think what is nice is it's a very classic love story in the sense that love does win, you know, and you're witnessing something remarkably pure in that love. And even in its not pureness, you know, meaning that, you know, it's complex, of course, but really there's a pureness to it. And I think, you know, people witness the rewards of that, and that great love. And that is, you know, I'd like to think very satisfying, for a lot of viewers. So.
We are sponsored again this week by Appalling Productions. You know, I was at a wedding not too long ago, and I was in the wedding party, and there was a photography team, you know, running around taking pictures, which turned out amazing. But one thing that I thought was unusual is that they had a drone on hand, and they were doing some drone shots. And I thought, that's interesting. What's the deal with that? Why are they doing that? And later on, I got to see the wedding video that was created. And the most spectacular shots in the video were the drone shots showing the overhead of the ceremony, and I was kind of blown away by it. So if you are interested in something like that, Appalling Productions does some drone videography. And so if you need a wedding photographer, wedding videographer, drone footage for real estate, for just about anything, Appalling Productions can make that happen. If you go to appallingproductions.com/contact and mention Arthouse Garage in your message, they will give you a discount. That's Appalling Productions, APAULING, owned by a guy named Paul. appallingproductions.com/contact.
Yeah, no, I think so. So kind of to that point of
just the familiar feelings. I kind of was talking to Allison about this the other day and remembering. So similar sort of thing that my viewers should tune into is the TV show Born This Way, and
Yeah.
which is a, you know, sort of documentary reality series that follows some young adults with Down syndrome. And I recently, I guess it was the first season, so it's been a couple of years or whatever, but there was this storyline. It's like a mini tiny little plot in one of the episodes, but Sean, who is one of the young men with Down syndrome, it showed him basically processing a hard decision that, you know, his parents were like, we're gonna have to move out of this house, and he was like, no, it's absolutely not gonna happen, like, I love this house, and, you know, he's so tied to this. But then over the next few minutes we watch him take that idea in, process it, and start to open up slowly to that idea. And it just struck me, like, that's exactly what my brain goes through. It's just all externalized. And we get to watch Sean just, like, have that all verbally processed. Like, that's exactly what I do. I'm like, nope, not going to happen. But then I slowly, anyway, just that idea of, like, there really is so much similarity to all of us, more alike than different. But I think that comes through in the movie too. So my experience partially is watching it as a parent of kids with Down syndrome was seeing those kind of similarities too, as I, so one thing that's really struck me was I've noticed recently my kids, like, when they're feeling something, they're feeling it like 1,000%. Like, in this moment, Rosie is happy and she's 1,000% happy and we're all happy because we're watching that. When she's upset, it's 1,000% upset. And, you kind of see Kelly go through some of that too, when she's feeling left out. And that's another feeling that we've all felt. She's just feeling that so purely that it's really moving to watch. So, yeah, for whatever all that's worth. But I'm curious.
I think you're right, and I think that's exactly that's exactly right. You know, it's just picking these things where you think and again, that's the beauty. I think when people come to the realization that, oh yeah, we really are more alike than different, because you know, a lot of people have said that to me. You know, and I think we all have, at different times in our life, felt lonely, and so it's very relatable. You know, and all those things, and I think they're very unexpected for viewers. You know, again, I think it doesn't matter if it's disability or otherwise, anybody that we're not familiar with, whether it's color, religion, you know, disability or otherwise, I mean, it's you're surprised when you go, oh yeah, you have to catch yourself. And it's, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a very tragic reflection of our humanity and our culture and society and everything else, that we aren't more in tune with the fact that we have to learn that lesson. But, you know, I guess if art and films and have to remind us, you know, great, you know, because, you know, that's, you know, yeah, we all need the reminder that we're all like, you know, or at least more alike than different. And it is, it's important to remember that always.
That's really cool. So I'm curious too, kind of along as, you know, these are all my biased experiences as a parent. I know you speak with a lot of, you met my wife at the Rockin' Moms retreat, and you speak to parents of kids with Down syndrome. Are there any like stories you have of reactions from parents, or do you, just in general, what's the reaction been like?
Of course. You know, and I think it definitely depends on where they're at in their journey. You know, you speak a lot to the early childhood years, because that's where you are, and those are the stories you're hearing, and you know, and it's similar. I have young kids too, and so, you know, now, you know, all the stories and all the parents and all our friends and my kids' schoolmates' parents, because, you know, logistically, that's where we're all at, chronologically and otherwise. And so, yeah, I think you tend to, that's, you know, just becomes your world, your little microcosm. And so it is different, you know, the parents that have teenage kids with disabilities and special needs and unique needs, adults that have adult children, you know, with special needs, that's different. But one of the themes when I speak around the country and to parents and otherwise is something that was actually launched from a mom in Chicago. Her daughter at the time was 11, who was born with Down syndrome. And she came up to me after one of the screenings I had in Chicago, and she said, you know, I'm still processing, and I'm fragile right now, but one of this film will change my life, and it will change the course of my daughter's life. And I said, well, do you know what you know, can you articulate that? And she said, yeah, I can. I realized while I'm watching your film that I have two other children that are quote unquote typical normal, and I have supported their dreams from their very young years, childhood years, and I've asked them what they want to be. I've supported their dreams, and I realized I wasn't doing that with Erin. I hadn't even considered her dreams. All, my mission, my husband and I, our mission was to make her as independent as possible. But what I realized was I wasn't even thinking of her dreaming in that way, and that has to change. And I'm happy to report, that was 2.5 years later, and we're still friends. I still talk to. They're friends now, and it's great because she said it has changed, and she sends me reports almost weekly of,
Wow, cool.
things that they're doing and the dreams that Erin has, and them going after them together, and her supporting those dreams, and it's wonderful. And so that kind of launched me into one of my central themes when I speak about the film, but also just as a motivational speaker. And your wife actually heard it at the conference she was at for Rockin' Moms, which for your viewers, your audience, was a conference for moms who have children with Down syndrome. And I speak a lot to the dignity of risk, and essentially that means that that you have to allow for someone to feel, that to have dignity is to allow them to make choices for themselves. And I further that by saying you have to recognize and support and nurture everyone's dreams. And it could very simply just be asking them what their dreams are, and I think that too often, and I'd like to think it's changing now, and we're more savvy to and aware of it. But that's really one of my missions, is to make sure that we're more aware of it, that you have to ask and support everyone's dreams. And that includes, with the same zeal as you might with someone that's typical or normal, support their dreams. And now, of course, this is, within reason, of course, but I also try to emphasize that, it's called the dignity of a risk for a reason. With risk comes, you don't know if it's going to be successful before you try. And that's a big part of the equation, but that's okay too, because, not all of our dreams come true. It doesn't matter who you are, and that's part of life, right? And that's part of creating a fully realized person. I haven't realized all my dreams. With that comes frustration and maybe even depression at different times of my life. So why are we trying to protect our children with special needs or our siblings or whatever from that possibility? We shouldn't, frankly. We shouldn't throw them into, the fires of certain, failure, of course, but we should try to support them the best we can. And at the very least, ask them what their dreams are. And those will change. They always change. I mean, I work with high school kids, and I ask them all the time, and some of them know what their dream is, and some of them don't. So that's not to say an 11-year-old with or without special needs is going to know what their dream is. But at some point, they're going to have a dream. At some point, we all have a dream. And so, to support them in the same way you might, your child with or without, a special need is imperative, in my opinion. And so I speak to that a lot, and I speak to parents about that a lot, because I think it's really important. I also speak to parents about, there's a huge rage right now in the Down syndrome community of parents, especially moms, getting this tattoo, this symbol tattoo, signifying, the 23rd or the 21st chromosome, and all this stuff. Anyway, for your viewers, it's a symbolic tattoo. But I say to all the parents, or I try to remind them, I said, look, that's awesome and I love it, but just make sure that if you have other children, that they're being represented too, and I think that's something that gets a little lost. And I get it. I mean, look, I mean, I did it as a brother. My life's mission was to make my sister's life as full as possible. And even now, I have a mission to make sure, all these themes that we're talking about are out there. But yet you can't forget you know, the other siblings, your other children, your other relationships. You have to celebrate them just as much, or try to find balance with that, because there's a real you know, it's very dangerous to neglect, consciously or unconsciously, the other people in your lives, especially the other children, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, just to cap that, I talked to one mom who's very involved in the community, and you know, she said one day she has 5 kids, and 2 with Down syndrome, and you know, she said one of her quote unquote normal kids came up to her one day and said, you know, was very distraught and very emotional, and said, "I wish I had Down syndrome." And her mom was really, his mom was really taken aback, and she said, "Why, honey?" And he said, "Well, because I just want to feel special too." And you know, and it's it was very striking to her, and just you know, she just had to realize that's what she was doing. You know, it was all about her children with Down syndrome. So I speak to that too. I mean, I speak to it as gently as possible, because I know it's a very sensitive, emotional subject, and you know, and a lot of these parents are just trying to get through it and trying to make, you know what I mean?
Yes, I know that feeling too.
You know, there's a survival element to it, but I think it's also important just to you know, make them aware of a few of these things, and then you know, they do with, you know, do what they can with it, you know.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, kind of to wrap up a little bit, I just wanted to say, as we draw to a close, just that the film, among other things, operates as an amazing kind of testimony and tribute to Kelly, especially as we get to the end and, you know, see that she sadly has passed away. That was one aspect of it for me as a parent with young kids, and maybe an uncomfortable part of that, but something that need to be thinking about and reckoning with, is just the mortality of my kids and the life expectancy, which, you know, to raise some awareness, the life expectancy typically is shorter for people with Down syndrome, although it's much longer than it used to be. But yeah, so it kind of made me reckon with that and really think through some of that. And anyway, so I appreciate that about it. I will say, if you are a parent with kids with Down syndrome who are young, that may be a reason to hold off if you think that could be emotionally triggering. But I'm curious to you of how, at what point did you ever consider that, you know, knowing that Kelly was at that age and that she had some health issues, was that ever part of, you know, making this movie for her in the case of that event too? Or was that, did that completely blindside you?
No, it didn't blindside me. You know, I think, you know, I speak to her health issues very early on in the film, you know, when she was 5, but, you know, the doctors had discovered a hole in her heart. And because it was in the early 70s, it was a very different time. And now it's almost, you know, I won't go as far to say a routine operation for heart defects, which is very common in children that are born with Down syndrome. As you know, I think it's as high as 40%. You know,
my daughter definitely has, that's part of her story for sure. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you guys have gone, you know, through the ringer with that, and it hasn't been an easy, quick fix. And you know, so yeah, I mean, there are significant health considerations with someone, you know, that's born with Down syndrome. You know, leukemia is high. Thyroid conditions. I mean, you know, there's a long list, unfortunately, very unfortunately. But, you know, back to your question about my sister, yeah, I mean, there was always a timeline that was very sensitive. The doctors said that she would last, you know, maybe to 12. And then when she got to 12, they said, well, you know, we've never seen anyone with her condition live past 20. So we kind of went with that. So there was always almost this ticking clock, which was, as you can imagine, it was very unsettling, but it was also, in some ways, it was great, because it created an intensity and an appreciation for sister and her life here on earth, you know. Yeah. So in that way, I guess, you know, which also played into the fact that, you know, when her and I were together, there was an intensity to that, and which was also very difficult with my other relationships, you know, as you can imagine. But my I guess my justification for it was, well, I don't know if this is going to be the last time I'm going to be with my sister.
Wow.
It's very, very legitimate and real thing, or at least to me. Of course, that didn't always go well with the, you know, with the girlfriends that were struggling with, you know, what about me?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was very, you know, it was always an issue. The fact that she lived just shy of 40 was nothing short of a miracle. But I also, you know, I like to say that she died just of short of 40 and really emphasize that because, you know, the film, you know, really illustrates that she loved life, you know, and I really do firmly believe that it's because of that passion and zest for life that she did live twice as long as the doctors expected, you know. And so I think that was, you know, it's a beautiful testament to, you know, kind of carpe diem, if you will. And,
yeah,
and,
positive, you know, energy, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I knew, I didn't think I would have to deal with it necessarily as a filmmaker. As I said, she died, you know, in post while I was, you know, knee deep in the film. And as I said, shelved it for 2.5 years and then picked it back up and trying to, you know, finish the film and also address, you know, how did I want to address and deal with her passing? I always knew that I wanted the film, you know, back to, you know, the filmmaker's journey. You know, I always knew that I wanted to leave the audience, you know, somewhat uplifted and to illustrate, you know, kind of that rocky moment of like, we did it, you know, and Kelly lived this fully realized life. And, you know, so that was always very important to me. So I was like, okay, well, how do I do this, you know, with death and dying and going, oh gosh. Mm. So there was always, you know, for your viewers that hopefully see the film, which is on Showtime until the end of the year and, you know, and hopefully more available after that through Amazon Prime or otherwise. But I mean, you know, I hope when they get to the end, you know, when they see, you know, there's a coda in the film, you know, of just kind of revisiting, you know, these dreams, furthering the dreams that I had for my sister and she had for herself. And so kind of there's a nice little medley of that, and that I'd like to think brings the audience, you know, some levity and some light to,
yeah
you know, the dreams carry on, you know, and her ripple and her vibration and, you know, carry on. And you know, at least by my observation, it has. And so it's kind of rewarding, you know, obviously as a brother, but also as a filmmaker, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to give listeners the wrong idea that this is just a super somber movie at all, because it's so full of laughter too. You know, I laughed, I cried, that record really did. It's it's a very joyful movie too, and you'll spend a lot of time just marveling at Kelly and laughing with her. And anyway, so yes.
I think you're right, and I'm glad you said that about, you know, parents with younger children. I mean, it is very confronting, and it does in a lot of ways captures a different time, and so there's a time capsule element to it. And and then, you know, when you're just trying to enjoy or even frankly survive the day with your young children, regardless if they have special needs or otherwise, you know, you're just trying to get through the day, you know, to watch a film, you know, just kind of with a 40-year expanse. And all those things, it's very confronting. And of course there is death and dying, so that's very confronting. But it is a nice disclaimer, and I think, you know, it is something that it's, you know, it's not for everyone per se. But yeah, I'd like to think, yeah, you go on a ride, you know, and my favorite films have always been the ones that make me laugh and cry in the same breath. And it really is that. And I was very fortunate too, because my sister, you know, really was a phenomenal protagonist. You know, I mean, she, you know, she had the gift. I mean, she could turn a phrase, you know, she could, she was very, you know, very funny. And, you know, and so there is a levity just to her spirit, which is awesome. There's definitely moments of tears, and things that come up. Absolutely. But yeah, I like to think that most people leave the viewing and go, wow, you know, overwhelming for sure, but wow, you know, what a spirit. You know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that's definitely true. Yeah. And I don't want to tell anyone not to watch it. I just want to say, make sure you're in an emotionally good place when you turn it on, maybe. But I
have some Kleenex. Popcorn and Kleenex.
There you go. Have it all.
Yeah.
I absolutely recommend it. So you were kind of just saying, but it is streaming on Showtime right now?
Yeah, it's streaming on Showtime, and it's there's scheduled viewings, of course, on all the Showtime affiliate channels, Showtime Family, Showtime Women, Showtime 2. And then, of course, you can stream it anytime. They have what's really awesome is they have a 7-day free trial. Yeah. So, you know, you can I don't even have Showtime, so I actually get to watch my own movie. You know, I downloaded the app for 7 days for free and watched it, you know, a couple times just because I could, and just to celebrate, you know, the triumph of getting distribution.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that opportunity there. I hope to maybe early next year, you know, just kind of to put it up on Amazon Prime and maybe iTunes to make it more readily available. Sure. But yeah, please come to it. There's also DVDs, of course, available that they can get a hold of me through the website, which is www.kellyshollywood.com. And they can follow the journey also on Facebook. There's a Kelly's Hollywood page on Facebook. And you know, and if you do get to it, and you want to support us by following the page or writing a review or rating it on, you know, Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, you know, great, because really at the end of the day, you know, taking us very full circle, you know, it is a little indie doc, you know, and it's the little engine that could and did, and all of that word of mouth and those ratings, they all help tremendously. You know, I just can't emphasize that enough. I mean, it really is word of mouth, and you know, that keeps these little indies, especially docs, you know, out there. And yeah. So, and podcasts like yours, you know, I can't thank you enough, Andrew. I mean, it's been great talking to you, and I really appreciate the support.
Absolutely, thank you so much for being with us. I will link to all those websites and social media on the show's notes. And yeah, again, highly recommend the movie. Thank you so much for your time today, Brian, and I can't wait for everyone to hear this, and hopefully we get some good feedback too.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And you know, for your viewers, your film buffs, you know, if you come to movies by rankings and rankings alone, which sometimes I do too. I have a quote, I won't watch anything under 6.7. But I'm happy to report that Kelly's Hollywood has an 8.5 on IMDb.
There you go.
So that's pretty that's pretty thrilling. And yeah, if that helps motivate any of your listeners, yeah, please do watch it. And thank you to all your listeners for listening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps up my interview with Brian. Thank you again so much for listening. This movie really is something amazing. I would encourage everyone, whether you are connected to the Down syndrome community, the special needs community at all or not, please go and watch it. You can subscribe to Showtime and check it out there. Or if you get Showtime, it is playing on the channel. And you can connect with Brian on social media as well to the places he mentioned. I will link all those in the show notes as well. As always, connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Stardust at Arthouse Garage and all of those places. You can follow me and Drew on Letterboxd. You can email me, andrew@arthousegarage.com. Thank you so much. We have some exciting film discussions coming up in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for those. Bye-bye.